This is MSO News. I'm Rick Moore, and really happy now to be talking once again with longtime acquaintance, the Massachusetts State Senate Minority Leader Bruce Tarr. Senator Tarr, welcome back. It's been several months now, and not that anything has happened in the last few months, but how are you doing?
I'm doing okay, Rick. Thanks. And it's great to be back with MSO News Sports. You know, there's a lot of harbingers of spring out there. The grass is coming up. We've seen the apple blossoms come and go, and we're back on the air with Rick Moore. So, a lot of positives in all of that.
Happy
to be back.
You are consistently the voice of optimism, and I appreciate that. That's great. Senator,
optimism's important. Sorry, go ahead, Rick.
No, absolutely. Attitude is everything. As you know, when you fly, altitude is important, but the attitude of the plane is also important, so I appreciate it. Okay, let's get down to business here. I was going to say it's budget season, but that's kind of a misnomer. It's always budget season, but so we're getting down, coming down the backstretch there, and down the stretch they come. And so it gets kind of hairy at this time of year for everybody, I think, in state government, local government, and probably the federal government. So where do we start, Senator? I'm going to let you start it off here.
So I dare say it's actually the busiest time of year in the legislature right now. It is true, as you make reference to, for the cities and towns, because the cities and towns are putting together their budget for the coming fiscal year, just as we are here at the Massachusetts State House. And they are interrelated because much of what the cities and towns base their budgets on is what we're able to provide with regards to state funding for things like K-12 education and unrestricted general government aid, which is also known as local aid. So those things are interrelated. But here at the State House, again, it is the busiest of times. The House debated the budget for fiscal year 2026 in April and sent it over to us. And we are now in the process of putting together and finalizing our budget proposal for fiscal year 2026, which, from our prior discussions, begins on July 1st. And what that means is that last week, members had several days to file amendments. The deadline was last Friday at 2 p.m., and roughly 1,058 amendments were filed. And then those amendments this week are being analyzed by all of us, including the Senate Committee on Ways and Means. But in my role as Minority Leader, I'm also going through all of them so that we can understand what people have proposed. And next week, beginning on Monday, we will begin debating the budget. And the debate begins with a colloquy between me and the Senate Ways and Means Committee Chair Mike Rodericks, and we go back and forth about the various aspects of the budget, areas of concern, areas that are challenging, and we set the stage for the next several days, which is when we actually debate all the amendments that have been filed. So that's where we are at the moment, and right now I have on my desk here a listing of all of the amendments that have been filed, and I'm just trying to process them as I know many of the other members are.
Highlight for me, if you would, please, some of the important aspects of this year's budget that may be understandable to us laypersons.
Sure. So the budget this year, as proposed by the Senate Committee on Ways and Means, and as came from the House, spends about $63.12 billion, or 61, I'm sorry, I got those numbers backwards, $61.32 billion, and that is an increase of over 6% as compared to last year's budget, which increased by 3.6% over the prior year. So we're seeing a significant increase in the amount of the budget, and most of it is being driven by the overperformance of the surtax on incomes above $1 million. If we look at regular tax revenue, so everything excluding that one tax, the growth is somewhere between 2.2 and 2.5%, but the income surtax is overperforming prior estimates and is driving that larger percentage of the budget increase. But it's important to remember, Rick, that those funds can only be spent for transportation and education. As you know, that was the result of a ballot question, and the authors of that question restricted the uses of that funding. So, by and large, the budget is going up by about 6.4% as presently proposed by the Senate. And a couple of important highlights, and we oftentimes do talk about cities and towns and the issues that they have with trying to balance the budget. And there is good news for them in the Senate budget proposal. The Senate, like the House, increases the amount of minimum per pupil aid that our K-12 school districts get to $150, which is the highest number it has ever been. And so that will help. There's still a long way to go, but it's a significant improvement. And the Senate version of the budget also increases what we call unrestricted general government aid, or UGA, and it increases it about $28.7 million over the current fiscal year. So those two sort of bread-and-butter accounts, education funding and local aid, do go up in the Senate version of the budget that's been currently proposed, and I expect those numbers will either remain where they are or increase as we finish the debate on the budget next week.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Senator, but I think the last time we talked about budget or the budget in general, because of the lack of federal funds after COVID, the revenue seemed to be down. But this seems to be rather a more positive view than maybe we had back in the fall. Is that true?
So it's been a bit of a roller coaster because during the years when we were beset with the COVID-19 pandemic, Rick, we did suffer from a lack of revenue, of tax revenue in many ways, but we also had the benefit of an influx of federal dollars for a variety of purposes to try to compensate for the pandemic situation. And then what we've been having for the last couple of years is that extra federal assistance has waned down to almost zero, and tax revenue has leveled off. So the combination of those two things have limited the funding that we have available, again, except for the surtax on incomes over $1 million, which has overperformed to the extent where it is going to contribute approximately $2 billion to the budget picture for this year. And absent that, we would have been at probably 2.3-2.4% of overall growth. So there are different pieces that are at work here. And, of course, the biggest piece of uncertainty results from what may or may not happen with regard to the federal government. And so right now, the House and the Senate are developing budgets, and the House did approve its budget, based on things staying relatively the same, with an anticipation that we may have to revisit these spending documents later in the year once we get a final budget in place because of what may or may not happen in Washington. And that is a tremendous unknown. But the risk is trying to anticipate what might happen and then making a misstep because you anticipate incorrectly. So we are preparing budgets as normal, and then we'll be prepared to react if there's a major change. But I want to point out, Rick, because I think it's extremely significant, the volatility that's in play here. So roughly speaking, Medicaid, the state's program for low-income folks to have health insurance coverage, is also a federal program. We partner with the federal government. And it represents, that one item represents 36% of the state budget. And if there were to be a cut to that, a significant cut, and there is some discussion of that, in fact, there was some in the news today, that would impact almost every other spending priority in the state budget.
Sure.
Because of the magnitude of that assistance that we get. So right now, we're moving forward, assuming things are going to remain somewhat consistent, but we're also aware that that could be a very, very changeable situation.
I appreciate that. The MassHealth, of course, my son relies on MassHealth, having Down syndrome and so on, and the flurry, the snowstorm of executive orders that come out of Washington has had my head spinning so much that I've stopped looking at the news and started looking at cat videos and kitten videos so I can survive. I just wonder how the state communicates or has communication from the federal government. Does that go through our state senators in terms of, and representatives as well, in terms of keeping the financial situation out of Washington with respect to state aid? Does it go through them?
It does, but it also has other venues as well. So obviously we have a federal legislative delegation that's directly responsible for those issues. They communicate with the state legislature, with the Ways and Means Committee, with the governor, the Senate president, the Speaker of the House. So there is that level of communication. And Massachusetts also maintains an office in Washington, D.C. to have a liaison with the federal government. So there are a couple of channels of communication, but the situation that you described is exactly as you described it. We're on a bit of a roller coaster where executive orders are issued and then they change, and then they change again. And that's why we are not attempting to, in this budgeting process, respond to that volatility, because we do not know ultimately where the dust is going to settle on the federal budget. The federal fiscal year begins in October, so it does not align with our state budget. And so we're operating on the best information that we have, but trying not to prematurely make decisions based on a very changeable situation in Washington.
That's very interesting, and it's sort of like you're on an island by yourself. Each state is making preparations for itself on the one hand, but on the other hand, there is still that federal connection, and it's just so important. Is this in your experience, is this kind of a different ballgame, I guess, in terms of putting together a budget? Because I think there were some things that were probably always written in stone, or at least if things were going to change, you had some forecast of it, you had some way to prepare for it. Whereas you mentioned volatility, great word, stuff changes in a second here. So is this rather unique?
It is in some ways. We have dealt with uncertainty in the past. You and I were just discussing the COVID-19 pandemic, which was a time when we didn't know what was going to happen with regard to the economy. Fortunately, we fared relatively well through that as a state, but we didn't know what was going to happen, and we didn't know what the ability of the federal government to support us was going to be with some of those programs. We've had recessionary times like the one that we had 2008, 2009. So uncertainty is no stranger to the State House, but this degree of uncertainty from the federal government I would say is unprecedented. And as you described it very accurately, the pace of change is much more intense than I've seen in a number of years here on Beacon Hill. So it is a different kind of uncertainty, a different kind of volatility. And as always, we will do the best we can to understand what's happening, to adapt to what's happening, and to make sure that the operations of state government in Massachusetts are not either interrupted or significantly damaged.
Well, I appreciate your candor and your efforts, Senator. It's reassuring, I would say. All right, anything else about the budget? Because I would like to ask you about a couple of other items that I know that you are always involved in.
So the only other thing that I would add, Rick, is that I am going to try to address a number of different things in the budget. We have filed amendments to try to address the high cost of electricity and the high cost of natural gas in Massachusetts, because those are things that affect consumers that are regulated by state government. And so we'll be looking to get at those costs. We'll also be looking at tools to be able to help folks afford health insurance, because as you referenced, it's very expensive. And for a lot of folks, it is beyond reach, which is why there is such a high suspicion of Medicaid in Massachusetts. It's known as MassHealth. So we're going to be looking at trying to address healthcare costs and also the competitiveness of our state, because it's very concerning that we've had a significant out-migration of folks between 25 and 45 years old over the last several years. And the future of our economy depends on them staying and being part of our economy and part of our workforce. So we'll be trying to address a lot of those things in the budget debate next week. Again, I cannot predict the degree of success we'll have, but they're important issues, and we intend on raising them. So that's about all there is right now, Rick, in that regard. Again, good news early on in that significant increase for school systems like Gloucester and Manchester Essex and others in the region, because every single school district in our Senate district receives only minimum per pupil aid. And that is true for over 220, close to 235 school districts in Massachusetts. And so when we increase minimum per pupil aid, it makes a big difference for a lot of students. And I have filed amendments to increase that number even further. So a lot of important priorities are being come to fruition in a budget debate in the chamber, and hopefully we'll make some more progress.
One of the great things about you, Senator, is you're available, you're visible, you're out in the community 365 days a year. I don't think you do take a day off. And I always, as a teacher, I always appreciated when the principal was visible to the students and the teachers, or the superintendent would show up. You're always out there. But at this time of year, I know that you advocate so much for so many different aspects of the community, but certainly veterans are high on your list. We've got Memorial Day coming up. We've got the 4th of July coming up. And it's a great time of year. And I think, I guess what I would say, in all the activities I see you in all over the North Shore, you really seem to enjoy what you're doing. You're happy about where you are and whom you're trying to help.
Well, I would say happy and honored, Rick. It's a real honor to be able to serve people in this capacity and to be able to help. And, you know, I often point out that help doesn't always come in the form of a billion-dollar budget amendment. It's equally gratifying when we're able to help somebody get housing or help them afford to keep their home warm in the winter. Those are things that are really, in many ways, some of the nuts and bolts of what we do. And it's extremely gratifying when you can help someone that needs help in that respect. So it's an honor to do it. I still will maintain, despite some of the negativity that's out there in the world, that public service is a noble and important thing to do. And I'm honored to be able to do it in this way.
Final question, Senator Tarr. I know that certain aspects of your schedule have to be probably cemented in, and your staff will make sure you do this, that, and the other thing with respect to the legislative process. But how do you juggle your schedule? In other words, you get requests from Newburyport or from Manchester, Essex, Rockport, whatever, to be here, to be there. And I'm talking about personal appearances. How do you fit that in?
Well, it's always juggling, Rick. For instance, tonight there are 4 town meetings that I would like to attend. And so I will be doing my best to get to all 4 of them. I might not be able to make it to every one of them, but it's important to try, because by going to town meetings, you get to hear what's important in the community, what their priorities are, what the challenges are in the various communities. But it is always the case of trying to juggle and try to be in as many places as possible and really be present. So to be able to listen and observe and talk with people. And we work very hard at that because it is important, and being visible is important, and having the ability to communicate with people formally and informally is important. So we work very hard at that. And some of the holidays that you mentioned, particularly Memorial Day, are a challenge because a lot of the events in the different communities are clustered around the same time of day on Memorial Day. There are a few that happen over the course of that weekend as well. But it keeps us moving, and one of the folks that has one of the toughest jobs in state government is Victoria Morey, who manages our schedule, and it's amazing to me how she's able to do that with all the requests that we get. But what I can say is we do the very best we can. I certainly don't get to everything I would like to get to, but we try to be as visible as possible.
Well, please convey to Vicky how much I appreciate her help. She's a peach.
I will definitely tell her that, and she'll be happy to hear it.
All right. That is Massachusetts State Senate Minority Leader Bruce Tarr. With MSO News Sports, I'm Rick Moore.